Davis. Welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM. You or someone you love has been diagnosed with cancer. You're feeling blindsided, dazed, and more than a little overwhelmed, but you must take a deep breath, clear your head, and take charge. That's where today's guest, Joni James Altred's wonderful book, The Saving of Gordon, comes in. The Saving of Gordon is the story of Gordon Altred's battle with cancer, as well as an unflinching look at what he and Joni might have done differently to save him. Although Joni and Gordon did not discover how to effectively approach cancer until it was too late, Joni has turned her loss into an invaluable resource for others. Drawing from personal experience, she offers straightforward step-by-step advice that will give readers the tools they need to have a fighting chance against cancer. Joni James Altred believes that she has been preparing to write The Saving of Gordon and The Losing of Gordon for most of her life. As a child, she was a better-than-average student. She wrote dramatic poetry. Before college, she worked at a newspaper. In her professional career, she has worked in analysis, documentation, communications, and public speaking. She has also been able to utilize her love of photography into the design of the books. But her real motivation for writing this book was 2 years of crisis in the Cancer School of Hard Knocks. She feels it is her destiny to relay this story to readers in a way that will help them in their own cancer journey. It is her hope that someday that journey will no longer be necessary for anyone. Joni, welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM.
Hi, Lisa. Glad to be here.
Yeah, I'm so glad to have you on the show. It was such a wonderful book, and it's just so incredibly helpful. And you really do give this step-by-step advice that when you're so overwhelmed, it's really nice. It's like someone's holding your hand and guiding you along, and that's just fantastic. Now, in the introduction, you write, quote, on May 13, 2004, my 43-year-old husband, Gordon, was diagnosed with a rare form of blood cancer. We were naive. We trusted professionals, not imagining that they did not have experience with his type of cancer. We expected a happy ending because we were promised one. Joni, can you tell us more about Gordon's diagnosis and subsequent treatment?
Absolutely. Gordon was diagnosed with a rare form of blood cancer called multiple myeloma. Multiple myeloma is a type of cancer that affects your eats your bones from the inside out. It's a very painful form of cancer. And when he was diagnosed, of course, we had no way of knowing that it was going to come. He was healthy as an ox. He was a big, burly guy. You've seen the pictures in the book. Mm-hmm. Looks kind of like a linebacker.
Yeah.
And had never been sick a day in his life. So we were really, really shocked with his cancer diagnosis. When I wrote The Saving of Gordon, Lifelines to Win Against Cancer, I wrote it as if it were the book that I would have been handed the day that he was diagnosed. And in the book, I'm very honest about some mistakes that we made by trusting, even though it was a highly accredited teaching hospital, one of the top hospitals in the country, they just did not understand his type of cancer. And as we went through the process and we went through the first 5 months of his treatment, his cancer was actually 3 times worse than it was when they started the treatment. So we lost all that valuable time.
Oh, my goodness. How did they explain? I mean, I'm just speechless. I don't even know what to say. It just seems so crazy.
Well, and it was crazy to us too, and actually that's what led to my wanting to share this story in the book, because you really, when you receive that cancer diagnosis, you don't know where to turn. And there is a lot of information available, but that in and of itself can be very overwhelming. But what went on was, as we were going through Gordon's treatment, and again, this was a highly accredited teaching hospital close to home, and we felt that that was a big advantage, not thinking that it was going to turn against us. As we went through the process, instinctively, we knew that things were not going well. As a matter of fact, the very first time we met with Gordon's primary oncologist, we had done our research. We had done the right thing. We had gone and we had found that there was this facility in Arkansas, the Multiple Myeloma Institute, that treated a lot of types of his type of cancer. So we went in to meet with his primary oncologist. We asked him about it. We said, what about this facility in Little Rock? And he said, in a glib answer that probably was more, I would say, ego-related. Mm-hmm. I've never seen anything good come out of Little Rock, Arkansas. So we dropped it. I mean, you have a highly accredited hospital with an oncologist that you believe that you can trust, or at least you don't know enough yet not to trust. So then we started with the treatments, and we were seeing that things were not going necessarily very well. And we would ask about it. I would go in every time we went in to visit with the doctor. I would bring in a list of doctors. Well, is it time for a second opinion? Here's a list of doctors that I've gotten. And he would tell us, first of all, that the treatments had not had time to work. And second of all, he would say, well, the treatments are going to be the same for this type of cancer in any facility that you go to. And that was an out-and-out lie.
Oh, my goodness.
Because with cancer treatment, you can have the same type of cancer in 100 different patients. First of all, the patient is different. Their biology is different. They can be in the same stage of cancer, and you can treat them all with the same type of treatment, and they may have 100 different reactions. For example, one of the primary drugs that they used for Gordon's type of cancer didn't have any effect on him at all. And the facility that you use to dedicate your cancer battle to, that's why it's so important that they be as informed and as up-to-date on new treatments and that particular type of cancer, is because your cancer may take many different twists and turns.
Mm-hmm.
So then, you know, we also, all cancer facilities do not treat cancer in the same exact way. And one of the founding principles in the Saving of Gordon that I use for patients and their families is I give them the steps to take to research their type of cancer. And there's a way that you can look up annual caseloads by cancer type, by facility, and you can look 50 miles out. You can try different zip codes and different things. But which do you want if someone you love gets diagnosed with cancer? Do you want to depend on a facility that treats 50 cases of that type of cancer a year or 350 cases?
Mm-hmm.
And that is the crutch that people have gotten into. We want to trust this facility because it's close to home. But ours was a classic example that you can't always do that, Lisa.
Yeah, no, that's true. And, you know, you ask so many crucial questions in the book, and one of them is, can I fire my doctor? And from what you're saying, I'd say, heck yeah. I mean, it just, you know.
Well, you know, one of the things that has been so amazing to me since I started this journey, I am part of our local, our state-run chapter for cancer. It's a CDC-funded group. There's one in every state. It's called the North Carolina Comprehensive Cancer Program. You probably have one in your state because years ago the CDC tried to establish one in every state. At any rate, when I went to my first meeting, it's a group of, there are some survivors, there are some caregivers, there are a lot of medical professionals there. And I literally, because of some of the strong, like the chapter you just mentioned, Can I Fire My Doctor?, platforms in the book, I thought I was going to be ostracized by the medical community. I literally went in shaking, and I am actually the keynote speaker for the survivorship summit for that group in June, believe it or not.
Great.
So what that tells us is that the medical community involved in cancer treatment knows that there are issues too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the great thing about the book, is they can look at the book and they can appreciate the fact that not everyone has a good cancer journey, and
yes,
that these are all wonderful lessons that need to be spoken about and discussed.
Yeah, you know, and in the book, that's so wonderful. I mean, you have, you know, the role of personal choice in the fight against cancer, and what attributes make for an effective caregiver, and where one can go to find emotional support, and tips to deal with financial impact. I mean, there's just, you just so many things that are so helpful, especially like I mentioned in the beginning, when you're just feeling overwhelmed. And you also talk about the cancer patient's bill of rights, and if you can talk a little bit about that.
Well, in our cancer journey, actually in the facility, the second facility that we went to, in the chemotherapy room, there was listed and posted on the wall the cancer patient bill of rights. And it is so important because cancer is not like a lot of other diseases. For example, if you have heart disease, if you go to 20 doctors, they're going to tell you possibly if you've got the right signs and symptoms that you need a pacemaker. They're going to agree with that. And the patient will normally agree with that. With cancer, the patient and their families are so involved in the decision-making process that it's important to understand the cancer patient bill of rights and know that these things are important to the patient. For example, the first part of the bill of rights is actually on the medical side. And it's things like, you know, the patient has to be involved and do all the things that the medical professionals ask them to do. But then on the flip side of that, when you talk about the cancer patient's rights, the cancer patient has a right to good medical treatment and good follow-up, and that the medical professionals will do what they have promised to do in the fight. And this is part of the protocol being determined in advance.
Mm-hmm. You know, another thing that I loved about the book, I love the dedications. And you have the wall of dedication. And, you know, you have one to your Aunt Det. Is that how you'd say that?
Uh-huh. Thanks,
yeah, Claudette. There. And she's so beautiful and looks like she was in a pageant. And she's, she was a beauty queen. And, you know, she just talks about her beauty, and it's just wonderful throughout the book. You can tell us about those.
Well, I wanted to do the walls of dedication for several different reasons. Obviously, they are stories that touch the heart of the people reading the book.
Mm-hmm.
But let's face it, cancer is not a subject that a lot of people want to talk about and discuss, even if you're living it.
Mm-hmm.
In a lot of cases, you don't want to discuss it. So the walls of dedication were ways that I could talk about people that either had been affected by cancer. Some of the people that have walls of dedication have actually lost their battle to cancer. And dedicate to people that were important to us, like important lessons, for example, like I have a wall of dedication to what I call my girls. And these were my friends that held me up through the cancer process. Well, that does two things. The walls of dedication kind of break up the difficult subject matter of the book. It kind of gives you a break. It gives you a little bit of a breather. But it also teaches great lessons, like my Aunt Claudette, who has battled cancer since she was in her 20s. And she's now in her late 70s, although she said you could have at least given me a little extra few years on there in the book. And she has lived her whole life with cancer and done it very effectively. It's a very inspiring story.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the wall of dedication to my girls shows how important friends are to the cancer process. And they can't be available just 24. They have to be available 24/7 for whenever it is that you're having your nervous breakdown.
No, friends make the hugest difference in so many situations like this. Now, you know, the name of the book, you have The Saving of Gordon, Lifelines to Win, and it's W-I-N against cancer. If you can tell us what the W-I-N-N stand for.
Well, I did, I wanted this book, and you can tell, to be very informative.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, whereas I had never written a book before when I wrote this one, what I did spend is a lot of my professional career doing research. Now, manufacturing research, but still research. And that seems to be my field of expertise. So what I did with the Saving of Gordon is I did a year and a half worth of research for this book to put in the best ways that I thought that you could follow effectively for anybody on how to find the right cancer treatment facility and right oncologist. And that's what the WEN method is all mm-hmm. about. So I took the W is for web research. And what I did was I took, in that year and a half, I went to a lot of the primary websites for cancer, and you can just become overwhelmed with that, literally, if you're trying to do it on your own. But what I tried to do was I tried to take out all of that extra research and work for the people that are reading the book. And I tell you in the web research exactly where to go on the web, exactly where to go in some of the major websites, and to find annual caseloads and do research on your cancer. I give you the search options and all of the information you need. Now, in that, if you're not web savvy, there's also the phone numbers to call, and all of the phone numbers for the major cancer organizations, so that you can, if you're not web savvy, you can go to them and they'll research it with you.
Mm-hmm.
The I is for interrogate, and that is interrogate your first, not necessarily your last, oncologist, and literally ask some tough questions, and I tell you where to go for the questions. Ask them some tough questions about, you know, what's going on with you. What is the number one facility for treating your type of cancer? Who is the best oncologist? Not just at that facility, but at other facilities, either in the same general vicinity. But anyway, these are all really tough questions that you have to ask, and your primary care physician. So I is for interrogate. N is for network. And we network all of the time. There are people around us in our sphere of our life all of the time. Your children's school, your college, your church, your bowling league, mm-hmm. you know, anywhere that you talk to people, you're going to hear cancer stories and cancer experiences. And through that networking, you're going to find information that will help you in your cancer battle if you turn on your radar and start hearing it. But I use a little clip in the networking that you make up a business card that says, I'm a hopeful, and I am fighting, say, for example, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. If you know anything about non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, please let me know and tell me your insights. And that's what networking is all about. Mm-hmm. And to me, if you'll use those tools, you can come up with some wonderful cancer strategy and great inroads into finding the right cancer treatment facility and oncologist.
Joni, I tell you, your book is a must-have. I mean, it's really fantastic, and I want to thank you so much for coming on, and I'm so sorry about Gordon, and if you can tell us how people can learn more about you and your wonderful work.
Okay. The website for the Saving of Gordon is www.thecancerlifeline.com, or you can just go to my primary website, which is Joni, J-O-N-I, Aldrich, A-L-D-R-I-C-H.com. That's a combined website that has all of the information. And I've been really, really blessed. We have had tremendous reviews from the book, and it's an ongoing process. And I do hope, Lisa, that it will help a lot of people.
Oh, I definitely think so. I want to thank you so much. And if people want to reach me, they can go to itsyourhealthradio.org. I hope everyone has a great week. Keep being healthy. Take care. Bye-bye.